Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and our online video picks for this week are up on our website. Every week we choose five videos from the web that we think you may be interested in, and I anchor them in a picks video. And this week's picks include Doris Lessing's unusual reaction to winning the Nobel Prize for Literature. Check him out at WNYC.org. Click on video. Now, as you may have heard on Morning Edition today, Dave Isay and the StoryCorps Oral History Project have a new book out called Listening is an Act of Love. And we're so happy to have Dave Isay back with more stories from the StoryCorps booth. Welcome back, Dave.
Hi, Brian. Good to be here.
And today we actually have two of the storytellers featured in the book and CD joining us as well, Mary Kaplan and Ronald Ruiz. So Mary and Ron, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Dave, how many stories did you have to winnow down to make a book?
Well, when we put the book together, we were at 10,000 stories. We're now at about 15,000 stories with about 29,000 participants. So we took 50 of the kind of most amazing stories of the first 10,000 and put it together into Listening is an Act of Love. And it is a book that definitely proves that our stories, the stories of regular people, are the most interesting and important of all.
And I noticed that the publicity materials position this project as an antidote to celebrity gossip. And I know, Dave, and I quoted you last hour, you've always wanted to make us a nation of oral historians.
Yeah, no, StoryCorps is really a project about listening, and it's about encouraging families to take time to stop and listen to the people around them, whether it's family or friends or someone who who drives your bus, like Mr. Ruiz over here.
And so let's hear a clip from the CD of Ronald Ruiz. This is a story about one of the passengers on your bus. Before we play the clip, you want to just tell us what took you to the StoryCorps booth?
Actually, one of my passengers saw a newspaper article about me, a passenger who thought my service was extraordinary. And I do that for all my passengers. And at that point, the StoryCorps had contacted me, said they saw the Post article. It was up for some kind of a merit award or something. And they had said, would you please come down? And I said, oh, can I bring my daughter? They said, yes. And it was perfect, because then my daughter also really enjoyed this sort of a part of my history.
And just a correction, I gather, this is not from the CD. This is from your actual StoryCorps story, and it's described in the book. But let's listen to Ron Ruiz from the StoryCorps booth.
I remember one woman in particular, a senior, who had gotten on my bus, and she seemed completely lost. I could see she was confused. I don't know whether it was an illness, but she looked so beautiful for a hot summer day to have her fur on. So I said, are you okay? She said, oh, I'm fine, but I don't know what restaurant. I'm meeting my friends. I said, you sit in the bus, I'll run in and I'll check each restaurant. The very, very last one on the left, I said, it's got to be this one. So I said, stay here, sweetie, it's nice and cool in here. I went in, I said, there's a lady in the bus, and she's not sure the restaurant. And I saw a whole bunch of other seniors there, and they said, oh, it's Bobby Ha. So I ran back to the bus, I said, oh, sweetie, your restaurant is right here. And I said, no, don't move. And I grabbed her hand. I remember my right hand grabbed her right hand. I wanted to make her feel special, like it was a limousine. It's a bus. And she said she felt like Cinderella. And she said, I've been diagnosed with cancer. And today, it's the best day of my life. Just because I helped her off the bus.
It's a beautiful story, Ron. And the idea of treating your bus as your passenger's limousine. It sounds like you drive your bus the way StoryCorps wants us to listen.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
You still drive?
No, I'm now disabled and I'm home, but I'm trying to make a difference now and trying to volunteer for different things. So I love the city. This is my city. And I want to do things that are extraordinary now that I have the time to do it.
And that's so much what StoryCorps is about. I mean, to me, Mr. Ruiz is an American hero, and it's these stories of courage and heart and conviction of people all around us that really who we are in this country. Mm-hmm. And it was great to have Mr. Ruiz's daughters with us at our reading last week, and to get them to let them see their father honored in this way.
Here's a clip from the CD that comes with the book, Listening is an Act of Love. This is a woman in the StoryCorps booth with a story about a lesson her father taught her.
My father, he was full-blood German. And my mother was full-blood Indian, and, it was pretty tough in the 60s growing up, half-breed, so to speak. And I must have been about 7th grade, 8th grade, and I wasn't doing well in school. And I'm the oldest of three girls, so our dad packed us up in his pickup, took us out to his old homestead land, which is about 18 miles north of Newtown, in the middle of nowhere. And he packed us some lunches and some water. All three of us girls dropped us off out there at 7 or 8 in the morning and said he wanted all the rocks picked in the northwest corner in one big pile and that he'd come back that night to pick us up and it better be done. So there we were working hard all day long. He comes back and we're dirty, stinky, sweaty, sore muscles, crying. We must have been a sight to see. And my dad pulls up in his pickup and I looked at him and I said, since I was the oldest, my two younger sisters are like hiding behind me. Dad, we don't think this is fair. We have to work this hard. And I just remember him saying, is that right? Well, do you think I like working hard like this every day? No. He said, you know, your mother said you girls don't like school and you're not doing very well. And we decided that you're going to come out here and work like this so your hind ends will get used to how your life's going to be when you get older. So I said, well, if we got good grades, do we have to come out here and work this hard? And he said, no, that's the deal. Well, you didn't have to bust my head twice up against the brick wall, but...
And I should mention that was Dr. Monica Mayer speaking, and that story is from North Dakota. So, Dave, StoryCorps is not just for New Yorkers, is it?
No, we've been everywhere, big cities, small towns. That was from the Fort Berthold Reservation in North Dakota. We have stories from the Oregon State Penitentiary where we invited in to record. So, this is really the kind of a portrait of the entire country and again of who we are.
Is the book mostly transcripts of people's StoryCorps sessions, or do you write?
Well, what we did there is writing in the book, and we tell the story of how StoryCorps came to be. But basically, what we did was because radio doesn't necessarily transfer to the page. What I wanted to do was to take the voices out of my head, and we had, you know, thousands of stories transcribed and then read them for print and saw which ones worked best on the page, and those are the ones that ended up in the book.
Mary Kaplan, your story is from a different time. Actually, I don't want to set it up because you're going to read for us part of your story live here, right?
I am.
Do you need to set it up or just dive in?
I'll go right in. It was the end of June 1986, and it was very hot. I went into an emergency room, and I said, I need a stretcher. My brother's outside. He's sick, and he needs something for pain. And they said, what's wrong with him? And I said, he has AIDS. They wouldn't come out and get him. He was out there, and it was 99 degrees. And by this time, he was starting to get comatose. I said, if you don't come out and get him, I will pick him up and carry him in here and sit in the waiting room with him on my lap. That's what I was going to do. Then they scurried and they all donned these suits like an E.T. and they came out. I remember one nurse said to another, is he dead? I just wanted to smash her. And they finally took him in. I saw the doctor and I said, I think he needs some morphine and other things. I want to take him home. She gave them to me, and I got an ambulance and brought him home, and my children were there. We all took care of him. I promised him I wouldn't leave the room, so they would bring me up sandwiches. I had to call my mother, and I had to tell her that he was gay, that he had AIDS, and that he was dying all at once. I sat with Tom and said, you know, whenever you want to go, it's okay. I'll take care of Mom. I'll take care of everything. And then he didn't go. Finally, I kissed his forehead, and I went to the bathroom. And then when I came back, he wasn't breathing. He died the moment I left.
Oh, my. And I heard you breaking down in tears on the Morning Edition clip that was played from that. I guess that was from your StoryCorps story. And, Ron, we heard you crying in the clip that we played of yours. Dave, how do you deal with all these tears?
Well, I don't think they're tears of sadness, and this isn't a sad book. I mean, what it really is, you know, when you're reflecting on life is hard. And when you're reflecting on your life and all the things that happened, love and all of these stories are really about the two kind of great themes of human existence, of love and death. But there's this incredible rainbow of stories that come out of it. So they're tears of kind of recognition of how great it is to be alive.
And Mary, your story really is from a different time when AIDS was unknown, and how many thousands of people at that time were forced to do exactly what you described, which is telling their loved ones all at once, I'm gay, I have AIDS, and I'm dying. So maybe remembering that will help us the next time we face something scary that also is stigmatized.
Exactly. Stigmas die so slowly. But I want to say one thing about the tears. The part of the story I broke down in was not the part that was so difficult, where people were saying cruel things. The part that made me cry was a great act of kindness from that young man who came forth and hugged me, a stranger I didn't know. It was kindness that made me cry.
That's beautiful. Dave, you titled the book, Listening is an Act of Love. Do you remember when you first learned that lesson?
I think it was one of the facilitators in the first couple of weeks after we opened StoryCorps. And StoryCorps opened about 4 years ago, a little more than 4 years ago. And it was a couple of weeks after we opened StoryCorps. And to the best of my recollection, we had a meeting of all the facilitators and the staff. And one of the facilitators said, "Listening is an act of love." I'm not sure which one. And that was kind of that's where the titles came from. And that's what we've seen, you know, tens of thousands of times now through StoryCorps. It's really all about listening and telling people that they matter and they won't be forgotten by recording them through StoryCorps.
And we're going to go out with one more story in just a minute, but the subtitle of the book is A Celebration of American Life. So do you think there's something quintessentially American about thinking that everybody's stories are worth listening to?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, again, you know, it really is, these are stories of kindness, heart, and courage. And that's not necessarily what you get when you read the newspapers or watch TV. We are not a country of Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears, but we're Mary Kaplan and Ronald Ruiz. And those are the stories we should be celebrating. Those are the heroes that we should be kind of looking up to and holding up as examples to our children.
The book and companion CD are being sold in Starbucks, I see, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
In 10 seconds, do you have visions of StoryCorps booths sprouting up on every corner, behind every coffee cup?
We want to make sure that StoryCorps is accessible to everyone who wants to participate across the country, and we're trying to build a national institution. And I hope that people can join us at Park Slope Barnes & Noble tonight for a reading and meet some of the folks from the book.
Park Slope Barnes & Noble tonight, David Isay. And we will go out with one more piece of tape. This is from Florida. Sherry Johnson and James Ransom remembering a Sunday school teacher from when they were children visiting their grandmother, from the CD and book, Listening is an Act of Love.
Miss Devine was a wiry lady. She wore summer dresses. She had a bandana and a straw hat. And she was the only person I knew that had more power than my grandmother.
She wasn't a mean person. She was stern.
Stern, yes, very stern.
You know, when she said something, she meant exactly what she said.
Right.
In fact, she was our Sunday school teacher. The only thing that would keep you from going to Sunday school, you had to have one foot on banana peel and the other in the grave.
Absolutely.
That's the only
thing. There's no excuse.
You had to go. One of the things that you prayed for when you were in Ms. Devine's class was, Lord, please let me get old enough to get out of this class.
This Miss Devine would come in on Sunday mornings to take us to Sunday school. And when I saw her come, Sherry, I thought the leaves would be blowing out the trees and the sky would go black and the clouds would come in. And she'd come in the house one morning and say, "Good morning, children." And everybody, my mother on down, said, "Good morning, Miss Devine." And she says, "It's time to go to Sunday school this morning, children." I said, "Miss Devine, I can't go to Sunday school today." She said, "No." I said, "No, ma'am." She says, "Why not?" She said, "Because I said my mother didn't bring enough clothes for me to go to Sunday school this morning." She said, "Oh, no." I said, "No, ma'am." She said, "Well, what do you have? What kind of clothes do you have?" I said, "All I have, Miss Devine, are my pajamas and my tennis shoes." She said, "Well, that's okay, honey. Put your tennis shoes on. We go to Sunday school." I looked at my mother, and she looked away, Sherry. Miss Devine made me walk 2 blocks in my pajamas and my tennis shoes. I had to sit in church with my friends. Doing Sunday school, my pajamas and my tennis shoes. I would tell you, Sherry, I'll never lie again. But you know what? That's the kind of stuff